Morning is taken from the book of Mark chapter 14, the verses 66 to 72. Mark chapter 14, the verses 66 to 72. And we have been working through the Gospel of Mark together as a congregation, and we're all the way to the end of chapter 14 and working towards the end of the book here. Mark 14, verses 66 to 72, and let us hear the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. And after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." And he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. That's the reading of God's word. Our passage today tells us how hard it is to follow Christ to the cross. Peter is the first disciple mentioned in the book of Mark. Peter was one of the three disciples who Jesus took in to see the raising of this dead little girl in chapter 5. Peter was one of the three disciples privileged to go with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw Jesus become whiter than wool. He saw Jesus transformed into a heavenly figure right before him. And Peter was the first disciple to declare that Jesus was the Christ and that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, in this gospel, Peter is the only person so far who has made such a confession. But as we will see today, Peter cannot follow Christ to the cross. At the end of chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus told Peter and the other disciples, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch." Jesus had given the disciples the warning that they are to keep watch, that they are to prepare themselves, because the hour of Jesus going to the cross is near. And so after the Lord's Supper, in chapter 14, as we've been seeing, Jesus predicts that all the disciples will fall away, and Peter is the disciple who stands up and says, "Even if all fall away, I will not." And Jesus answers, "Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself, Peter, will disown me three times." But again, Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Oh, how bold Peter is in his following of Christ. He will follow Christ at all costs. He will even give up his own life to follow Christ to the cross. And after Jesus makes his prediction, and after Peter confesses that he will never deny Jesus, they go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus tells the disciples to keep watch because the hour is near, and Peter falls asleep. Then Jesus comes back and tells him again, and Peter falls asleep. Then Jesus comes back and tells him again, and Peter falls asleep. Jesus is keeping watch, and the disciples are following asleep. And so, when the arresting party comes, Peter, who so boldly has followed Jesus, abandons him, as with all the others. And so, we are brought to our passage. And our passage really today begins at verse 53. Last week, we had the first half of our passage, which was about Jesus' trial. But these two passages are really connected together. You can't understand the trial of Jesus without understanding Peter's denial in with it. You cannot understand Peter's denial without comparing him to the trial of Jesus. These two trials are connected very, very closely together. Notice the beginning two verses in verse 53 and 54. The stage is set for our drama. They have arrested Jesus, and they take him to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law have come together. When Jesus is on trial, he is facing the top leaders of Jerusalem. He is facing the high priest of the land. All of the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law are all there facing Jesus. And where is Peter? Verse 54. Peter is following him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. This is Peter, who has followed Jesus, who has confessed him as the Savior, as the Messiah who has come. This is Peter, who would not leave Jesus, who said, "I will follow you, I will never disown you." And he's following him at a distance. How often don't we see such a thing? People love to say how much they love Christ. People have confessed that Christ is the Savior. But then when they have to follow him to the cross, they follow at a distance. As soon as something comes up in their life that they have to deal with, that they don't want to deal with, as soon as something comes up in their life that they have to confess to another person or something in their life that isn't right before God, they follow behind at a distance. So is Peter. And so there, the end of verse 54 tells us that Peter is sitting outside the trial of Jesus with the guards, and he's warming himself at the fire. Now, the author is telling us in these two verses that these two episodes are happening at the exact same time. As Jesus is on trial before the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the high priest, the elders, all of those in that room, Peter is on trial down in the courtyard. He is following Jesus at a distance. And there he sits, not with the high priest and all the leaders of the land, but he is on trial with the guards, warming himself. And so in Jesus' trial, they accuse him falsely, and Jesus says nothing. And they accuse him falsely again, and Jesus says nothing. And finally, the chief priest stands up and asks him a direct question. "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, Son of the Blessed One." And Jesus answers, "I am." And they all condemn him worthy of death. And so they began to take him outside, and they spit at him in verse 65. They blindfolded him. They struck him with their fists, and they said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him, and they beat him. And while all of this is going on, down below we see the picture of Peter. The author is going to tell us, as all of this is happening in verse 66, we read, "Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came by." Do you see the irony? Jesus is standing before the high priest himself. He is standing before the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law, all the hierarchy of Jerusalem. And Peter's facing a servant girl. Girls didn't have the highest status in Jewish society. Girls weren't known as people whose testimonies people would immediately respect and latch onto. After all, that's the way they viewed women in their day. And so here you have the contrast. Jesus before the high priest and Peter the disciple only standing before a servant girl. And so when this girl sees Peter in verse 67, she sees him outside warming himself. It tells us that she looked closely at him. And the Greek words there will help us understand that she's looking at him through the fire. And she can't quite make him out. She sees the fire and the light isn't good. And she sees this man standing there and she's looking. She's trying to see closer. That's what our text is telling us. She's looking closely at him. And then she says to him, "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. Notice she calls him a Nazarene. She's made the connection. Jesus was from Nazareth. People from Nazareth had a certain look about it. It was known if you were around in a place like Jerusalem that you were someone from Nazareth. She is identifying Peter as being with Jesus, as being from his hometown, as being connected with Jesus in some way, in a way which would be closer than most people. "You were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But Peter denies it. "I don't understand what you're talking about," he said. Oh, how typical it is. I want to follow Christ. I will serve Christ with all of my heart. "Jesus, you are my Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." And then you have to follow Christ to the cross. And you begin to know that there's something in your life you haven't dealt with. And so you begin to follow him a little bit at a distance. You're following him in these other areas. But then there comes that one area of your life which is difficult. And you begin to follow just at a distance. And then suddenly you hear a sermon, or you're reading your Bible, or somebody comes up to you and they point out that part of you. And you say, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand it." You know it hasn't been dealt with. You know it's something before you that you have to deal with before you can follow Christ to the cross. But when faced with it, like Peter, how easy it is to say, "I don't know what you're talking about. But you're with Jesus. You're a Christian. You're following him to the cross. I don't know what you're talking about." And so, as the text tells us, Peter went out into the entryway. First, he's following at a distance. And when it's pointed out, "Look, you are with Jesus, you're connected with him," he goes further away. How easy it is. I love Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, but not in this one area. Oh, here it is, it's pointed out, this is what I have to do. And you begin to follow even further away. "I don't know what you're talking about." And so the servant girl in verse 67, she saw him there. And she said again, not to Peter this time, but to those standing around, it tells us, "This fellow is one of them," she says. And again, Peter, before all of those in verse 70, denies it. Up above, Jesus is on trial. As the little girl is saying to Peter, "Surely you were with that Nazarene Jesus." Jesus is being on trial, for false charges are being put against him, and Jesus doesn't answer. And now, as the girl says to those standing around, "This fellow was one of them," they again are bringing false charges against Jesus right up above as all of this is happening. And Jesus says nothing. These trials are happening at the same time. Jesus is silent. Peter is denying his connection with him. And after a little while, it tells us, those standing said to Peter that he was one of them. And they heard what the little girl said. And they said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." They have heard Peter's speech. A person from Galilee had a different way of speaking, had a different way of talking than people who lived in Jerusalem. It would be like somebody in Coopville being able to identify somebody from Oak Harbor because of a different dialogue that they would have, a different way of speaking. And so when they hear Peter talking, they're able to identify that he was a Galilean. It was Jesus who started out his ministry at the beginning of our book in Galilee. They made the connection that Peter, by his way of speaking, identifies himself as a Galilean. And so they ask him a direct question. You are one of them, for you are a Galilean. Up above, Jesus is asked a direct question. The false testimonies have come against him, and all the false testimonies have fallen short. The high priest stands up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus says, I am. Down below, Peter is asked a direct question. Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And Peter begins to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. He doesn't even use his name. Jesus up above is asked a direct question and he says, I am the Christ. Peter, who is supposed to be his most loyal disciple, who all through Mark has been portrayed as someone who has things together above all the other disciples, can't identify himself with Christ. And immediately, it tells us, the rooster crowed a second time. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. Up above, Jesus is being beaten. Up above, verse 65 is taking place. Some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him. They struck him with their fists and they said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. And down below, as they are beating Jesus up above, Jesus' prophecy is fulfilled. They're commanding him to prophesy. And Peter remembers the words that Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And there in the courtyard, Peter broke down and wept. Peter is weeping as one would weep at a funeral. Up above, Jesus is being beaten. He is being beaten so Peter doesn't have to weep. They are commanding him to prophesy, and down below in the courtyard, prophecy is fulfilled. This is a story about two trials. Peter is the head of the disciples. He has left everything to follow Christ. But Peter doesn't really know Christ. He listened to his teachings. He witnessed his miracles. He saw Christ raise the little girl from the dead. He saw Christ transfigured on the mountain. But he doesn't know what it means to suffer for Christ. Up above, Jesus is on trial. Jesus is on trial for Peter. Jesus is on trial for the church. Jesus can go to the cross. Jesus has watched and prayed. Peter fell asleep. Peter can't go to the cross on his own. There are many people who follow Christ at a distance. They love to hear about Christ. They love to confess that he was their Savior, but when it comes to following Christ to the cross, when it comes to watch and pray, to watch their life and to get their whole life in order, not just part of it, they fall asleep. And then when they have to come and they have to follow Christ to the cross, when they have to deal with the things in their life which they don't want to deal with, they follow at a distance. When they hear the sermon, when somebody points something out to them, when they're reading their Bible and they're reading, I know that that is something in my life that I have to deal with. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't really read that. That really wasn't in there. That's not some, well, I know it's in there, but you know, it's not so bad. And they begin to follow even more at a distance. And finally, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to identifying yourself with Christ or identifying yourself with what you don't want to deal with, they'd rather not choose Christ. But you notice something. There's something here that's very unique. And it goes back to verse 37 of our chapter. Jesus is in the garden, and he returns to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he says, Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch and pray for 1 hour? Jesus calls him Simon. Throughout the rest of the gospel, Jesus early on has changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. Jesus has called him Peter throughout other parts of the gospel, but here in the garden, for some reason, he calls him Simon. Well, turn to chapter 16. Turn to chapter 16, verse 6. Jesus has risen from the dead, and the man at the tomb says, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you. After the resurrection, Peter has changed. After Jesus has gone to that cross, after Jesus went to the cross for Peter, after Jesus stood his trial for Peter, after Jesus admitted that he was the Savior for Peter, Peter is changed. After he rises from the dead, Peter is changed. When we read in the book of Acts, we read of Peter standing up boldly for Christ. We read of Peter suffering for Christ. We read of Peter preaching sermons for Christ. Peter has changed. Peter is no longer following Christ at a distance. Peter is no longer saying, I don't understand what you're talking about. Peter is no longer saying, I don't know the man you're talking about. Peter is following Christ to the cross. Oh, if only people could know and could see what happens here. How many people have things in their life they don't want to deal with? They have an area that they know that is wrong. They have something they know that they have to do. They have something that is hindering their spiritual life, and they don't want to put it on the cross. They want to do it themselves. But in the first part of our passage, and that's the whole point of these two being together. Christ did it for Peter. Christ did it for you. You can't go to that cross without Christ. Jesus went to that cross for you. You don't have to say, I don't understand what you're talking about, because you can put it on the cross. You can live in the confidence that Jesus has raised. You can live in the confidence and the boldness of knowing that Christ has died, that he has been raised for you. That is why you can take up your cross. That is why you can confess your sins to one another. That is why you don't have to be afraid to deal with things. That is why God is calling you to deal with those things, because Christ has gone ahead of you and he has dealt with those things. You don't need to be afraid to be identified with Christ. Christ has forgiven you. Christ has rescued you. Christ has bought you. He saved his church. And one thing that is very, very clear from this passage, Peter did not speak that boldness because of anything he did. Peter did not watch and pray. Jesus did it for him. Peter was not arrested with Christ. Jesus did it for him. Peter took on a servant girl. Jesus took on the high priest, the chief priest, the elders, and the teachers of the law. Jesus stood trial for him. If it were up to Peter, he would have never followed Christ. If it were up to Peter, he never would have gone, he never would have spoken boldly as he did in the book of Acts. But it was up to Christ. He follows Christ because Christ called him. He follows Christ because Christ saved him. He can go to the cross because Christ did it for him. Christ has rescued him. Peter no longer has to break down and weep. You know, Peter, really, when we read him in our text, is the leader of the church. When we read about Peter, we are reading about ourselves. You don't have to break down and weep. You have a Savior. And that is the point of this whole chapter. The church fails, but Christ does it for them. Amen. Father in heaven, how easy it would be for us to follow Christ at a distance. How easy it would be to not want to associate ourselves with you. Because we know that when we do that, Father, that makes our lives difficult at times. Sometimes, Lord, we have to face things we don't want to face. Sometimes, Lord, we have to deal with things that we do not want to deal with. Sometimes, Lord, it seems easier to follow you in many ways, but to keep our distance in others. Lord, give us the strength to know that you have saved us, to know that you have done this for us. Oh, Lord, we know that when Christ was on trial, it would have been easy for him to fall away as Peter did. But because he was our Savior, he did not. Because he was our Savior, he identified himself as the Savior. And Lord, may we as your church identify ourselves with the Savior. May we, O Lord, as we look at these passages this morning, see ourselves in Christ's trial and not in Peter's. Father, give us strength to love you and to serve you in all parts of our life. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.